All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. All right. I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that probably ought to be familiar to every man here, but there's really a real reason for saying it and putting it in the title, Woman That Will Not Take No for an Answer. Not take no for an answer. Well, it would be wise if we ourselves collectively would not take no for an answer when it comes especially to appealing to the Lord Jesus Christ. While our Lord was here on earth, there were folks that would come into His presence, and they would make their desires known. And in the case that we'll be looking into this morning, it seemed as though the Lord was going to ignore her and not going to do what she asked. But I encourage you that God does hear the cries of the saints of God. If you'd like to be a part of a group that comes together early on Sunday morning, I say early, we're here ahead of most everybody else. There's some men that come together with this pastor, and we pray for the services. And I'm persuaded that's the main reason that we've been having good services now for quite some time. I believe it's just from God's own throne. So you, if you'd like to participate in it, we don't make it a membership deal. It's just an opportunity to come together. And I'd be glad to discuss it with you outside or at another time later and tell you kind of how we work things. But today there's a woman that's involved in this lady's daughter, gravely troubled and ill in that sense, and she needs the Lord's help. This mom cries out to the Lord in her behalf. Let's start reading with verse 21 and we'll read through 28. But just before we do, let's take a moment and pray. Father, again, it's my privilege to, first of all, approach the throne of grace and then to appeal to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, that you'll bless in this time that is allotted to us, and read the word. May it find lodging in our hearts, and may it grain itself in our minds that we'd not forget it, realizing that we have the word of the eternal God that's on our behalf today. And I pray you'll bless and read this passage and bring this message. For I pray again in Jesus' glorious and precious name. Amen. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. What a tremendous story. Here, as we read this particular account that is given to us, certainly when we think about, just by way of introduction, we were discussing, as it just so happened, in the book of Ezekiel, Tyrus and Sidon, and here we have it as it is in New Testament presentation, Tyre and Sidon. But in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 26, we found that this people were under the judgment of God. You begin to see some similes here as we think about this woman, a woman that is just basically a sinner, that she has no special claim on God. She's under judgment. Just as this lost world is under judgment today. And the Canaanite people are under the sentence of death, just like lost folks are today. And she was from a people of immense idolatry, much like this world today. As I look into the Word of God and see God's pronouncement of judgment upon idolatry, and then I begin to look at the religions of the world and then bring it down even into a more confined setting and find out that in what is called Christendom today, there's a whole lot of idolatry and error that is advocated and propagated today. And so we have much in common with this woman in this sense. And she has a demon-possessed child. And I want you to know that that would be a grievous thing to a mother. I can only conjecture. But I worked in a home one time, and whenever I got through with that job, I was really extremely glad and grateful. There was a little boy in that home, and he was saying things, talking about subjects that he rightfully should not have known anything about, and very blatantly, boldly opposed his mother, and even denounced her and her and his dad. And my first thought was, surely there's a demon-possessed child in this home. And I was glad to get through with the job and be able to get away from that home. It was the most eerie feeling about that, as there was just something very uncomfortable about that situation and the presence in that home. And here's a woman that has a daughter that is demon-possessed, just as a child. But this woman hears of Jesus, and she comes to Jesus and will not be denied. Even though he does give her every indication and opportunity to just finally give up, she won't give up. She persists in her request to Jesus Christ. And if I could encourage you today in the area of prayer, just keep on praying. Don't give up. Keep asking God. Well, I want to put this into an outline this morning. And the first major point from the introduction or the setting that we've just given, I want to give you Jesus' appraisal of her faith. Now, what Jesus Christ has to say about our faith, about our actions, about our persons really is worth something. It's of immense value. There was an occasion whenever the Lord was in the temple and he was standing over across from the treasury, and there came this widow woman. And Jesus, after she had walked by the place where they deposited the offerings, Jesus said this: "This poor widow has given more than they all." That was his appraisal of her actions at that time. And Jesus Christ has something important to say about this woman's faith at this particular time. In fact, our Lord said it was a great faith. A great faith. Now, some of us may not be blessed as others are with great faith, but if you've been given any measure of faith, be grateful. There's a lady that was saved by the personal witness of somebody in our church, and I baptized her not too long afterwards. But as time went by, I found out that she had a unique way of expressing faith to the Lord and just trusting Him. She just had a way of whatever was a burden to her at the moment, she just lay it upon the Lord. And if you heard the song, "Take Your Burdens to the Lord and Leave Them There," most of us take them there and we carry them there and we carry them back with us. But this lady had a way of being able to lay them down. And as far as I know, still does. I would assume she's probably in her early 90s at this particular time. But I believe that if the Lord were to give an appraisal of her faith, He'd say it was a great faith. And of this woman, our Lord Jesus Christ said it's a great faith. And I want to give you just three thoughts about why I think that the Lord said that she had great faith. The first thing I would point out is that she had a great faith because of lesser privilege than others. Because she had a lesser privilege than others. Remember, this woman is from Tyre and Sidon, this region out of darkness where the Word of God is not prevalent at all. Now, there was some confederacy between Israel and Tyre and Sidon, but it seemed like that the Word of God just never did take real great effect. One of the reasons likely is because of the darkness that was there brought about by the idolatry of this people that we know as Tyre and Sidon. I mentioned in the Sunday school class, this is a crowd that produced Jezebel. We'll not rehash that, but I just want you to know that this particular woman did not have the privilege of others. Do you realize that in the city of Jerusalem, there was the temple? I'm talking about the place where when Solomon built it and dedicated it, that the Spirit of the Lord so filled that house that the priest couldn't even go inside and minister. And they had the Word of God, the oracles of God. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman church, he pointed out that there was a distinction between the Jewish people and the Gentiles. And he said, if the Jewish folks are not saved, what advantage do they have? I mean, what is there that would really be outstanding about them? And Paul said, chief every way but this, that they have the oracles of God. They have the Word of God. And this woman came out of a place that was known as the region of darkness and did not have the same privileges as others. I hope that you'll keep in mind this morning that there are people that are not as privileged as you are. And I'm not talking about just the service and because I'm the preacher, but I'm talking about the opportunity to be a student of the Word of God today. First of all, just to have the Word of God. There are still people in this world today that don't have one verse of the Scripture in their language. And so we'd have to say that they are lesser in privilege than we. Well, now, we may not know what to do with the Word of God. I've mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. For some reason, I honestly think that God began to deal in my life a long time before I realized that God was dealing in my life. But in my teenage years, I got this idea that I was going to read through the Bible. Well, that didn't last, I know, over 3 days at the most. And I didn't read very far. And didn't understand very much. But the truth was, I still had the Word of God available to me. And there are people who do not have the Word of God available to them today. And when Jesus said this woman had a great faith, it's great because of the lesser privileges that she has than others. The second thing I would say about her faith, as the Lord said that she had a great faith, is that it's great because of the person her faith pursues. The person her faith pursues. Now, I think there was an intent here, and I think there probably needed to be a distinction that was made. You'll notice, first of all, that this woman addressed Jesus Christ as thou son of David. The Lord didn't answer at all. She was not under the covenant promise. So, in that sense, then, son of David, and that appeal would not have really meant what it would have meant to an Israelite that was in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. But finally, when it came down to it, she said, Lord, help me. Then she's on good grounds to make the appeal that she makes. But her faith was great because of the person it pursues. Then I believe her faith was great because of its persistence. Persistence. Just didn't give up. Didn't give up. Now, I would be foolish to make the boast of a great faith because I've never felt like I had a great faith. I remember years ago whenever a fellow preacher came to me and asked me to help him in a building program. He's a good carpenter, and I'm a mediocre electrician, so we could get along and get something where we'd have lights in the building and air conditioning would work, and even made the kitchen range work. So there's a lot of things that we could do together. He said, he made the statement and laid the ground. He said, I want to build a building by faith. That meant that he wanted to trust the Lord for the money, the labor, and dedicate it debt-free. Almost unheard of in our day and time. In fact, I got amused one time. Preacher friend of mine, known Floyd Osborne for all of his life, nearly, back from high school days. But he wanted to build by faith. We were building on the building one day and working in it, and there's another preacher and maybe the other fellow that preached to, I'm not sure, but I think they're both out of the same church. And he said, well, we're doing just about the same thing you're doing. We just borrow all the money we can, and we build as much as we can. We go borrow again as much money as we can and build as much. And I said to myself, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing at all. We weren't borrowing a dime. And I saw that bank account come down a lot of times just into the few dollars. I've mentioned it before, but I'll just mention it in passing. One of my real encouragements was that there was one old lady that was in the nursing home where I worked. And she came down with enough money to buy one shingle. She said, I want to buy one shingle for that building. I said, all right. We'll put that shingle on. And we bought that shingle. But I also saw God's handiwork as time and again, when there was not any oil in the barrel, so to speak, that God supplied the need. But I said to Floyd, whenever he challenged me, he said, would you be willing to build by faith? And I said, I don't have that kind of faith, but if you've got that kind of faith, I'll try to follow you. And I wanted to follow with that kind of faith. This woman was persistent in her request to Jesus Christ and would not give up on this request that she had. Jesus gave an appraisal of her faith. I've tried to point out to you, at least in a measure, the greatness of her faith, but I want to say this before I leave that subject. It opened the bounty of heaven. It opened the bounty of heaven. There's a great preacher of history. You'll know his name. If I call it, it's Charles Haddon Spurgeon. A lot of things you might not know about him. He had a lot of trials in his life. He fought depression even in his life. He had a lot of difficulties even with the ministry, health-wise. Sometimes he'd have to take off for several weeks just because of failing health. But I am persuaded one of the reasons why that man had such a successful ministry is that while he was standing in a place like this, and we don't build so many buildings anymore with a basement, but when he built, or that building was built in London, England, Metropolitan Tabernacle Baptist Church, there was a basement below exactly where the pulpit stood, and five men would go there and pray while he preached. I tell you what, it opened the bounty of heaven. He started what was called the Baptist Union. I don't know where I was the other day, and somebody mentioned the Baptist Union. And I'm pretty well just an independent Baptist, folks. I've come to this conclusion. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon had started, helped start that Baptist Union. They began to progress away from the fundamentals of the faith and the things that were near and dear, and Charles Spurgeon began to speak out against it and preach against it. And they threw him out of the convention he helped start. And you know who made the motion to dismiss him from the union? His own brother. Apparently his brother didn't believe the word. And now you don't hear of him in history because the door to heaven and the bounty of heaven was not open to him, but it was open to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Here's a woman that her faith opened the bounty of heaven. As thou wilt, Jesus said. Second major division, not counting the giving the setting and introduction. How far does the Lord's promise reach? Well, let me give you just a few thoughts. It reaches far enough to baffle all the powers of hell. Here's a demon-possessed girl. And hell itself is baffled by what goes on here in this particular setting. For the answer to her request is, as thou wilt. Satan has to flee when Jesus tells him to. How far does the Lord's promise reach? Not only far enough to baffle all the powers of hell, but far enough to heal her daughter completely. If I could get on a soapbox for a moment, I'd beat the drum and tell you that there is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, I may not be able to fully understand nor appreciate everything that is said about God's salvation, but I do have this confidence that it's a complete salvation. And by the way, it's not my appraisal of God's salvation that counts. The Bible said the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are His. Now you like me might forget someday, but Jesus Christ will never forget because He saves to the uttermost. How far will this promise of the Lord reach? Far enough for the daughter to be healed immediately. I do not advocate nor preach a continuing salvation or one that extends over a long period of time. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Thank God we either stand in or we stand out. When Jesus said, I'm the door, the door's there for entrance. And if you've gone through the door, you're standing complete in Jesus Christ. And I don't have time to develop that thought. That's another message in and of itself. But in the case that is before us, the Lord's promise reaches far enough to heal this little girl immediately. How far does it reach? Far enough to allow her to eat, and we're talking about the Syrophoenician woman, to eat the children's bread. Now, I've preached on this subject. And if you'll put it together sometime and begin to look into the subject of the crumbs that fall off of Israel's table, that we Gentiles can crawl under the table and pick up, you'd be amazed what we get just as an overflow. Or a side benefit. Or nothing but a gift of God, if you want to call it that. God is good this morning to allow us as Gentiles to even have an opportunity to approach the door. But not only can approach it, but we can enter in. Third major point, when will Christ trust us with such a promise? Well, we're going to kind of get down where the rubber meets the road now. The first thing is when we agree with Him. He said to the woman, it's not meet to take the crumbs that fall from the children's table and give them to dogs. Now, that's pretty strong language. When you think about it. I've been called a lot of things. Some all right and some of them not so good. But to be called a dog. And she said, you're telling the truth, Lord. But the ones that are under the table get to eat the things that fall from the children's table. So if we agree with Jesus Christ this morning, He'll save to the uttermost. And if a man cannot agree with God that he's guilty as a sinner before God, he'll never be saved. Second thing, when can the Lord trust us with such a promise? When we see Him for who He is. The woman said, Son of David. Well, he didn't respond much to that. But he is the Son of God. And he is the Savior. He is Lord this morning. When can he trust us with such a promise? When we can believe what we're asking. Believe what we're asking. As we continue the thought of when can the Lord trust us with a promise like this, when our hearts seek only God's glory. When we only ask for the children's bread that falls from the table. Last major point this morning, you can say amen. How do we use such a promise? How do we use it? Well, first of all, we use it in personal salvation. I'm grateful that one day, by God's grace, I was able to fix my faith and my trust upon and in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm thankful to my God that that book I couldn't understand and didn't stay with when I was in my teens has become a book of real meaning to me today. Personal salvation. How can we use such a promise? We can use it for our children and our friends. How can we use such a promise that we may draw nigh to God? That's one thing to be saved. It's another thing just to stay real close to Jesus Christ. But you can stay close to Jesus Christ. John said it pretty plainly, if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can stay up close and in sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Musicians, make your way to the front. I'll pray with the rest. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that there is this account recorded for us in
your word. And I pray that you have instructed us, or you will instruct us from this today. And I want to trust that your will be done in hearts and lives of folks. Some today have been moved upon by the Spirit of God, and they already know what they need to do. And I trust they'll respond. Others, I trust they'll be convinced and know what they ought to do, and will respond accordingly. But in this service, in this portion of the service we call the invitation, I trust that the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up, exalted and glorified. For I pray in that name.